What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Welcome in to the To The Point Home Services VIP room, where we invite you, the listeners in, to hang alongside some of the biggest, baddest, and most successful VIPs of the home services industries. You never know which surprise guest will show up next. So let's get this party started.
Hey, what's up, Home Service VIPs? It's your boy, Chris, along with my two homies, Chatty P and AG, the Ron Collie Ringer. It's been a while since I said it.
Yeah, a little bit.
And the Silver Fox himself. I got both my boys on here. We're running a little bit late today. I wonder why, Aaron. Aaron, why are we running a little bit late today?
Well, because Chad's all big time, you know, taking pictures on his race cars at his office and, you know, doing all these things these days. And we're kind of small potatoes to him. So I appreciate you making time for us, Chad.
Yeah, thanks for making time for us. I really appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chad Peterman Show. Aaron and I are going to be on here as his co-host today.
You guys are lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Well, listen, it's always fun to bust your chops. So we have a good guest here on today. The actually first time I've met our guest, both of all, actually all of us first time met our guest. And actually, ironically, you know, having been in the trades for so long, knowing so many people, I'd never even heard of this business. And maybe it's because it's in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And ain't nobody going down to Mississippi too much, you know, unless you're going to Jackson. I was going to work that bit in here too, but I didn't have time to do it. But Ben Nalty, we got to Ben Nalty, which is a GM, the general manager, you got a multi-family, multi-generational guy in the business. We'll talk about that. Who's general manager for Environment Masters. You do all three trades, HVAC, plumbing, electrical. Your dad, Ray, president of the company. Is he one that actually started? Did he start the business, Ben?
No, my grandfather did.
So you got multi-generational, and the business started back when? When did your grandpa start it?
So founded under a different name in 53, became Environment Masters in 57.
Got it, 57, right when Aaron was born. Yeah.
See, Chad, you're not the only one.
But, you know, guys had a nice little business. I've been asking the last few guests, you know, just kind of what their last few years have looked like from a revenue perspective. And you and I got to chat a little bit about it on text, Ben. And in 2024, you guys were running $25 million. In 2024, you're running about $25 million. In 2025, nice little bump up to $32 million, which I believe was an acquisition that helped kind of make that change.
Here, right? Yeah.
And then pacing, you know, 35, I believe you said this year. So, not a bad little business you're running here down in Mississippi. And I just wonder, you know, we'll kind of pick apart some of the, that, you know, 25 to 32 jump and then the, kind of the more flatter, you know, year to from 32, 35, obviously very respectable. I just want to talk through some of those things because it seems like it's a pretty good conversation with the new construction piece and the acquisition that you had to carve out. I think you were doing. So we'll get into some of that, but before we do, I do want to bring up an idiom today. Boys, you've all heard this one. Chad does this frequently, especially while we're recording. He likes to kill two birds with one stone. I'm shaking his head, yes. You guys have, of course, heard this term, kill two birds with one stone, right? Of course. Now, what I like to always know is what's the origination of this? When the meaning of it is, it's you're trying to accomplish two things. If I can accomplish two things at once, it's a time saver, it's a whatever saver, but where did it originate from? Any of you guys have an idea how you actually kill two birds with one stone? You realize how complicated that has to be?
Yeah, kill one with a stone, isn't it? I mean, birds are pretty quick.
You're like a primitive type trap.
Birds are pretty quick.
Yeah, don't they take off? You throw a rock, that thing will fly. Yeah. Fast, right?
I'm just picturing Aaron outside the shop later this afternoon at the end of the day, like chucking rocks at birds.
He's got a fucking sling in his stomach.
In my mixer.
In his mixer attire. Well, so this actually, guys, this will, you know, this is actually the oldest idiom on record. the oldest one.
Oh, wow.
This one dates back to ancient Greece, which is now going to start to make more sense. The earliest version appears in writings in 342 BC. BC. And it was, yeah, you know, you had the sling and a stone. And it was, you know, you would try to hit, you know, if a bird is, a couple of birds are perched over sitting somewhere, could you hit both of them at the same time with the sling and a stone? Kill two birds with one stone. That would be exceptional. So that's where it dates back to, all the way back to BC time, you're sling and a stone. So Aaron, I'd love to see you try just to hit one bird with the sling and a stone. I'd actually just like to see you throw the stone with the sling.
I'd like to know if Nolan was able to capture that in the Odyssey. I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Anyhow, okay, so the closest thing we can relate to is a slingshot, which is the cheater version of the actual sling itself. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, there's the origination of kill two birds with one stone, the oldest idiom in the book so far. So also real quick before we jump into this, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, Yelp. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the Yelp episode and the video I posted after when I said, hey, you did not give a sufficient answer on the review conspiracy. So I got Jed's answer and I recorded it and I posted it last week on social media, the in-depth version of it to put the conspiracy theory to bed. Also shout out to our sponsors, Avoca AI, Avoca, love those guys. Sales Ask and, to our, partners at Send It Email Marketing, one of my favorites. All right, guys, let's get into it. Are you ready? Are you ready to give Ben the business? And by the way, Ben, you got a couple of big boys in here too, so now's the perfect time for you to ask questions along the way. I'm sure you got them. You know, these guys have accomplished a couple things. You could tell by the gray hair on Aaron that he's been a plumber who's built a big business. A year ago, it wasn't quite that gray. It's good looking a little grayer today, though. Chad puts a hat on. He's still got all of his hair color, but he also dyes his beard. So, okay. But maybe let's just do this, man. Okay. Chad doesn't really dye his beard. I'm just kidding.
I didn't think he would.
You were great, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I got to get a haircut later this afternoon, so I got the hat on.
That comes from a place of jealousy.
Yeah. My gray hair is legit. Okay, so you jumped into business, and you said your grandpa started the company, but you jumped into business at, what, 14, I think, kind of doing the grunt shit that we all have to do when we're kids. But at 14, you came in, you're doing stuff like mowing the lawn. You had some, like, you're doing some duct work and things like that. You know, today, you know, you're the general manager of the business. So are you actually running the day-to-day operations of the company today?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what is your dad's role? You said he's still coming in. So, like, what's your dad's role today? Is he just, like, what's he doing?
How would I define his role? So at 68 years old, my dad likes to work on the things he likes to work on, which I would say is a lot of long-term vision planning and marketing. And then just depending on the day, he'll get as in the weeds as he wants to. My dad is pretty awesome to work with. I know there's probably a lot of father-son relationships that wouldn't say that. My dad is you know, for someone that's been doing this his entire career, and at his age, he's incredibly open-minded. He loves to try new things. He doesn't chase shiny objects, which maybe sometimes those two things can correlate, but, everybody would invite him to get as involved as he wants to get, but he's here every day. He's really naturally curious, super kind person, great to work with.
Curiosity is good. Well, now, would you consider yourself more of a sales guy, ops guy, marketing guy? Like, kind of where you lean towards?
Probably more of an ops guy today, in terms of what I do in and out. I got to wear every hat, just depending on the day, but more in terms of operations on a day in, day out.
Got it. Okay. So now how long have you been the GM there?
I'd say going on about, there was like a good 6 month, I'm not sure period, but, probably about two plus years.
Okay. Well, you picked an interesting 2 years to become the GM. So, but you're kind of coming out of the COVID stuff too and settling. So,
what were you doing before you were the GM?
So I was our HVAC service manager beforehand, ran the service department. And it was, that's kind of a interesting transition. I was in sales, worked for myself, really didn't know everyone in the company or really how it operated going back to the summer of 2018. And we had a service manager who wanted to get out, was burnout, which can happen in that chair for sure. And my dad was talking to John Conway in June 2018. And John said, "Well, you know what you got to do, right?" And he was like, "No." And he was like, "You should just tell Ben to do it in the middle of the summer with zero experience." And John was right. He was like, "He'll sink or swim and you'll figure out where he can fit in the business, but you should just tell him to do it." So me and dad went and grabbed a steak and he was like, "Hey, you want to move from sales to run in the service department?" And I was like, "No, that sounds like a terrible idea and change." And then when I left and I thought about it, it was like, man, if I really want to run this business fundamentally, like that's going to be probably the best place to get in to learn everything, especially on the seasonality side. And I just really embraced it. And shockingly enough, it's actually one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. I learned to love it. And just was real honest with all the guys and told them I'm not your technical specialist. You guys are better techs than me. I won't act like I am. But I got your back and probably have more weight to have your back than you've had in the past. So let's work together and let's do this thing. And we rocked through COVID together and have made an awesome group, really grown that department, and a good trial by fire that John gave me, which is kind of his style. Very grateful for it.
That's a really good John impression, like spot on. I had the many of those talks with him. Well, yep, you're just going to do it. That's what you're going to do. And when we come around next week, it better be done. Okay. Yes, sir.
I can't. I mean, I can talk for an hour about John. I love him to death. Probably know one person maybe outside my dad or rival to my dad that's kind of helped shape how I see everything and, pushes. He's fair. And it'll be hard on you, but like at the end of the day, he's a great dude. Just really knows how to set you up for success. Grateful for John. Yeah.
Did you connect with John when he was at Nextar, or like when are you? Okay.
So John was our business coach, really did a lot of really great things for our business. We came after 2008. We were almost all commercial construction. That's where my dad cut his teeth. So we totally changed lanes. And by the time we had got to Nextar, I mean, every concept was new. Everything was shocking. And John did a really good job at moving us along through that transition and not just telling, but teaching too. I know he can tell you, but he also understood that the way my dad had seen business was just so different. So a lot of teaching needed to take place, and he was really good to us.
I think that's interesting. There's a lot of similarities probably between you and Chad in this one more than me. But besides, doing commercial work and losing everything because that's not a great plan. But I think that same thing, right, Chad? Your dad did mostly construction, like multifamily stuff too, right? And then ramped over. So what made what made that transition happen? Was it the economy? Was it just rethinking? Was it like, we got to do something, we're getting hammered here? Like what made your dad make this move? And then you obviously embracing this and everybody embracing it. Now look where you guys are today.
There wasn't a job to do in Mississippi from 2008 to 2010. Yeah. It was a really tough time. And we had a, you know, residential services arm, and we operate in that capacity. Kind of all departments were sort of blended. But, you know, work dried up. And one thing I would say, like, you know, you have wartime leaders and peacetime leaders. My dad's a hell of a wartime leader. Like, he runs the challenges, really good at putting his head down and grinding things out, and he doesn't give up. So it was a natural adaptation, so to say. Like, I'm going to figure this out. He loves this place. He puts his all into it, always has. And just grinding it out, figured it out. It's also, like I said, he's super open, like, loves to go learn. Went to a Honeywell deal, I believe, and he thought it was all going to be about, like, controls, technology, and all that stuff, but it was all about websites and marketing in the digital age or whatever, and he just ran at it.
Looks like you guys do kind of the multi-trade stuff, but it sounds like your dad was kind of, like, background was like HVAC. Tell us a little bit about kind of adding those trades when you added them. I feel like it's always a big topic on here, on kind of how I did it, what was going on, what were some of the challenges. Like, tell us a little bit about kind of adding those trades, I guess, over time.
So plumbing was out of the construction world. Added plumbing so we could bid jobs for both. And then the electrical side is much more recent, 2 years. And I don't know, my opinion could be due to my market, but I feel like the level of sophistication that can happen in electrical hasn't been as big of a focus as the other two trades for a lot of people. And it's an awesome business. And electricians are super talented people. So I've really enjoyed getting to do it and learning about it. We have some really fantastic electricians. We kind of started on our own and then ended up acquiring a really long standing business in town and kind of ramped it up. And as I said, that one's a more recent. So always, you know, kind of the vision for the past 5 years is to become a whole home service provider. Just been kind of navigating it. And right now I feel like we've got a pretty strong electrical arm that we've gotten off the ground.
And our listeners too, is like, so how much of your business is residential and how much is commercial today? Like, percentage wise, can you give us like an idea?
That's math.
You're saying, like, is that mostly residential? 85 90 residential? Okay,
yeah,
all right, kind of get an idea.
So mostly on commercial. Like, we still have 500 commercial maintenance accounts. It's all service replacement maintenance.
Okay. Mostly OPMs and all that stuff.
Yeah, no bid work anymore.
You're spending thousands to make the phone ring. But if your CSRs aren't picking up or converting, you might as well light it on fire. And what are the largest businesses in the country doing about this? They use Avoca, the leading AI platform in the trades. $100 million businesses like HL Bowman are operating with only 9 CSRs because Avoca handles up to 80% of the calls. Plus, Avoca follows up with your leads, grades your CSR calls, and helps you strategize. So my suggestion, go with the leading company. Check out avoca.ai. That's AVOCA.AI. Click the link below.
One of the biggest mistakes operators make is assuming they know what's happening in the sales process. The reality is most managers don't have time to listen to every single call, sit in every ride along, or review every sales conversation. Sales Ask solves that problem. Chad and I use Sales Ask at our roofing company and seen great results. Their AI helps you review real conversations, identify coaching opportunities, spot the missed steps, and understand exactly where your team is winning and losing deals. If you're investing heavily in lead gen but don't have visibility into your sales process, you're flying blind. What are you doing? Book a free sales visibility session with Sales Ask and mention To The Point Home Services VIP Room to get your free exclusive listener offer.
And then you've been the GM for 2 years. So where were you guys at 2 years ago? I know Chris was running through some numbers, but when you took over as a GM, what was kind of your top line? Where were you guys the year you started?
So I guess that would be like the 20. That was kind of like a little in between time, which like we were probably getting to that. We were growing from that 20 to 25.
Okay.
When I kind of started getting, and cause it was kind of like a, had to figure it out cause, we had to, I had to replace myself as the service manager, got two great guys doing that. And we totally split commercial and residential and got a commercial service manager. So kind of turned that role into three positions and then, was doing sales management till about a year ago and appointed a sales manager. So really put down other hats and got into a more GM role capacity.
Were those all your hiring? Did your dad say, you're now the GM, go hire these people, figure it out?
Yeah, for the most part.
Conrad, like John, like they did last time?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah, no, all of them.
Hey, have you and your dad butted head on the decision-making so far?
You know, I don't, that's not the way we really go about it. We'll disagree, but it's more like we are presenting our case. We don't, every now and then we can, get into a little spat, but we generally agree with each other on most things. I mean, normally like he's a financial wizard. I got 100 years to learn what he's forgotten. So, you know, his is always going to be numbers based. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with like color code and all that stuff. And I'm a yellow eye. So like I am driven by fun. Like yeah. That's what makes me go. So we kind of, and he's kind of the blue red sort of guy. So we work really, it's friendly fire, I believe is what they call it. But we work good together. We don't get in spats, but he's always got a number to back himself up.
I'm a yellow red.
Nice.
I'm actually a yellow purist red. So I really like to have fun and then get some shit done in the meantime.
Yep.
I love the color code.
Color code's good. It's good.
So are you guys are private or you're still, or no, you're part of, you have a private equity partner. Who's your partner? Yeah,
Redwood.
Oh.
John and Richard.
Okay.
That,
which is
that, guys. Well, that all makes sense now, right?
Which that's is why interesting. I mean, that's so a,
that's why you're talking up here. I get it now. No.
it's an interesting story right. How that all came
that,
about.
That too. Comes out later. Now we get it. No, John's an amazing guy. John's an amazing guy.
John, you son of a bitch. We know you put him up in that. No, nah, we love
those guys. Those guys over there do run a great thing. I mean, we had them on here, what, I don't know, a couple, maybe more than a couple episodes ago. But just, yeah, they do. They do a great job.
Yeah, we just happen to have, though, another one of your, I guess, another Helmy from.
Helmy.
Yeah. Man. Had him on.
I know I'm boring compared to Helmy. that guy's a monster. I love him.
Yeah. 21%, 56% gross margin, 21%. That, yeah,
he's an animal. He says he's going to do it. He's going to get it done. The Redwood thing has been good, though. They've been really great to us.
When did you join? Yeah. When did you join that group?
2022.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you've been there for a minute.
Yeah. I think we were the seventh partner on. And it was kind of like, you know, dad is approaching retirement age. We had nothing for succession figured out. And at that point in time, I feel like our phones rang every day with someone trying to buy us. And honestly, every time you had that conversation, it felt like you needed to go take a shower. It just felt slimy. And, you know, I wanted, like, as hard as my dad has worked, I wanted him to figure it out for himself. And like, whatever happens to me, I'm going to have to make my own way in life. And I believe that. And I didn't, like, ultimately I wanted my dad to get the benefit of all his hard work. And it was just, man, just zero interest in selling any piece of the business and any conversations that we had had. And interestingly enough, you know, we had just talked to these guys who were local because I knew one of them, and we were just in the parking lot, like real hard now, just run from that. And I'm driving out of town, and my dad called me and goes, I just got a really interesting phone call from John Conway. And it had been a while since we had talked because he had left Nexstar. I didn't even know what he was doing. And I was like, yeah, he was like, I think we should talk to him. And I think it was kind of just a really good match, really liked what they were saying. I knew it'd be super beneficial for my dad. They had, you know, interest in me and wanted me to find a way to buy in, to make a deal happen, which obviously, like, you know, feeds the ego, but it's like, great. You guys actually consider me a piece of this. You're not just looking to take my family business and figure it out for yourself. So we, you know, they were patient enough for me to figure all that out, which was scary and fun at the same time. And really just the whole team at the time, like, I really appreciate, like, you know, Richard's got a real good vision and communicates it really well. Sean, who's the CFO there, me and him become great friends. We're about the same age, like, just high level of trust in that guy. And then just already knew how good of a guy John was. And we're 4 years into this deal now. And, you know, you wait for the rug pull. But it's, man, everything that they've said, all the independence they said they were going to give us, the benefits that they said they wanted to add, like, it's just, it's kind of happened. It's been a really good partnership.
I think we're going to have to start charging Redwood.
I was about to ask you a question. If you had like a private deal on the side with them, Chris, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, no joke. Can I at least get a shirt or a hat or something? I mean, shoot, we haven't even got any swag for this show, but you know, hey,
I will, I'll make sure some swag. See, what you have to do with Redwood, you got to go to the right person.
Yeah. So, okay.
Diane, that works at Redwood, nobody knows this. She runs that show. She is the bomb. You want some swag? I'll tell Diane she needs to hook y'all up.
Now that we're official sponsor,
Seriously, I'm going to like clip all these episodes and take it to him. Be like, okay, you guys owe us something
here. Yes,
at least $30,000. At least. Yeah.
At least get me a gift card to Jeff Ruby's.
Can you get me a Sizzler gift card? A Sizzler, please. Come on. We go to Sizzler.
Yeah, that's a great story to hear because I think a lot of people don't know who to partner with sometimes and challenging. And, you know, obviously, I love to hear how much you just appreciate and respect your dad and the work he did. I mean, that's, you know, that's obviously showing up here and the work he did. And you really respect that and did that. And then that process, making sure that, you know, when somebody is going through this process, because there's a lot of family businesses that have grown and done these things, right? And then making sure, you know, between the family and the transition and how are you involved, like, those are all hard things and decisions to make, right, for the future. I know Chad's seen a lot of that. You've seen some of that. Those are not easy, like, things to deal. I haven't had to deal with that. I just tell my son what he's doing now. So, but other than that, I don't have to deal with any of this other stuff. So that's always interesting because I think there's, because I didn't come up in that area, but I realized that there is a lot of that, a lot more probably than sometimes we even realize in this industry, at least for me, that there's all this like family owned and switched and operated and taking over and then leaving the legacy. And then now private equity coming in, like all this stuff going on. So even navigating that, I would assume with your team had to have been probably somewhat of an interesting conversation too, is because this is a legacy family business, right? And now you're being acquired by, you know, in everybody's mind, a private equity company, right? Not that I think all private equity is bad, by the way. I don't lean into that by any means. But I also understand that there's a lot of beliefs on that, right, out there, especially techs and other stuff. So maybe tell us a little bit about how'd you guys navigate that conversation?
So, you know, what was promised to us and what was delivered is, like, you know, John knew us really well. knew how we operated. He was like, we want to run the processes that you've already trained and learned. We want to give you the ability to negotiate with vendors better and take advantage of that. But, we want to pour jet fuel on the Environment Masters brand, and we want to watch them grow, and that's what we want to do. And we want to give you the ability to connect with the best operators in the industry, which has been probably the most valuable piece for me. Got to learn so much from so many great people that I get to work with in a short period of time, a lifetime's worth of learning, I feel like, in a short period. So what we did is we actually had a big catfish fry. And everybody,
that sounds very Mississippi.
Very Mississippi, yeah.
I've never been involved with one of those, so maybe one day somebody can invite me to one of those. I don't even know what that is, but
Aaron has a mixer, not a catfish fry. He has a mixer.
Well, I think you'd have to end up drinking it more straight at one of our parties, but you still have a nice. Good time.
But go ahead.
So our catfish fry, basically let everybody know, like, this is what's happening, And we have an expression me and Dad use. Mississippi's 3 or 4 years behind the rest of the world. And that's, I think we coined that off Mark Twain, saying to understand the world, you got to understand Mississippi. So we're just a little bit behind. And it definitely worried some people. There were some rumors that, I was leaving in 2 years and we were shutting down plumbing. And it was just a ton of that. And kind of went like with the man in the arena mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to power through this. Actions are going to show, like, it's going to be okay. We're not changing our identity or core values and who we are. And, now there's really no drama associated with it, but there was just a little patch. But ultimately, I think everybody also understood too. My dad was approaching retirement age. I got two brothers that don't work in the business. And, his communication point was just honest. I got to figure out the next steps. I got to leave this place in a good way to run, when I'm gone. And, this is ultimately, I saw bringing in a really good partner, a really good teammate that would help me, help Ben run the business. And, man, that's what it's been. That's kind of how we ran through it. Yeah, it was a little bit of drama at first. Mississippi's also a small town too. So, like, the other thing was the customer side of it. Like, a lot of our customers didn't think me or Raymond worked here anymore. And, like, it got to the point where I just had to, like, however I could, just get out there and be like, still work here every day. Dad still works here every day. It's not like that. So just kind of powering through those tough spots, but not listening to the noise.
What's up, VIPs? I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Listen, I wanted Yelp to give us something. So I said, give me something I can share specifically with the listeners. And here's what they wrote verbatim. New multi-location advertisers on Yelp may qualify for a 20% bonus advertising budget when they start campaigns before September 30th, meaning Yelp puts extra ad dollars on top of whatever you spend. That's free money. So fill out the form at business.yelp.com/homeservice VIP, or just go to the show notes and click on the link, and the Yelp team will reach out to you to help get you started ASAP.
Yeah. What's one, my guess that's transit kind of to stay on this kind of same vein of like how much Redwoods helped you. Obviously you knew John prior, so there were probably things that, he suggested or helped you implement or anything like that. I guess if you look back over the last, call it 12, 18 months, what's one of the things that you can point to where, like, not that they forced you to do it, but like, hey, they looked at the business from a different perspective or the perspective of kind of being our coach, and we made this modification that has, really benefited the business that we just didn't do really well or just weren't focused on that, over the last kind of year and a half has made an impact in the business.
So anything that Scott Brinkley tells me or works with me on is just gold. Like, but the problem is he's 500 times smarter than me. So I have to like, I got to get him to really dumb it down until I can get it. So one of the things that I think has had a really profound impact for us in the past several months, really starting in March, was showing me a way to, when you start with that daily huddle at 10 a.m., how to make that conversation go to 4. How we're going to count down what we committed to throughout the day. What are those accountability conversations and how do you direct them? Where do they go? Are you in a dispatch office? Are you in a manager's office? Like, where are you seeing? Are we in the CSR office? Are we adding calls? Instead of having a daily huddle where you say, this is what I think we're going to do. Good luck. So that was something that I think was really beneficial that he did directly for me to help me understand. Some other things that I think, and this is something like they said, you know, talking to you guys, like we did HVAC for a long time. My grandfather, I would say, was kind of a pioneer in maintenance. Like he started maintenance programs in the late 70s, probably before a lot of people were thinking about that. And how to get electricians and plumbers to think about that maintenance, that membership, how it benefits all three trades, and how to encompass all three trades where if you're a member, you get the benefit of all three trades. Just being HVAC for so long, I don't feel like we thought about it like that. And those are two things that, you know, Scott helped me with personally, but then Redwood had several other coaches help our business to really become much more valuable to our customers in terms of what does a membership mean with Environment Masters and how does it help you not only in HVAC, but plumbing and electrical. So some big changes underway that I think have been great for this year.
We brought up two important people on here, by the way, because Brinkley was Gainer's coach and Conway is Peterman's coach.
Yeah.
So, great coaches.
Yeah. Scott's a great sales guy. Just, I mean, he's great at a lot of things. He's an operator too, but great at just, hey, this is how you do sales, how you do the process. These are things very process driven. So again, I think that's what you're talking about. Like, I think one of the things, like, depending on, you know, going independent, you got to join a network, you got to get social, you know, you got to learn stuff. I think that's how your dad did it. That's how I did it. That's how Chad did it, right? We joined the Nexstar network, right, to learn and share and do stuff. And I think one of the things that you do benefit from some of these platforms and areas is that you do have that network now and you have that resources. And, you know, if you want to go that direction, you know, take some chips off, get investment in, be part of a bigger group of energy and effort that you can share. So I think there's a lot of benefits with the right groups that share these knowledges and help coach you to get your teams better. And I think that's what I'm hearing from you is like, you know, that there is upside in these things. I know there'll be people against it and people for it always in every walk of life, but there is upside. And when you get with the right group that can really help you accelerate. And it sounds like your growth has been pretty strong too in the last 2 years from your own energy, your team. What I hear from you is you guys went from 25 2 years ago, about 2025, you're on pace for $35 million 2 years later, right? And what are you contributing that to?
You know, adding an electrical trade is good for revenue, but...
I mean, you picked up $10 million in electrical? I need to come talk
to
you.
No. I'm going to expand on that. I'm going to expand on that. But also it became to a... I'm going blank on his name, but the service MVP guy says, don't bring your grandmother in the truck.
Oh yeah.
Every option, every time, let it be your customer's decision from the most simple, you know, this will be the Band-Aid to move you forward to if, you know, you want to upgrade and renovate your system, your water heater, your water filtration system, you know, whatever it may be. And truly giving a customer every option. And I think working with those guys has really help my guys working with the Redwood team has really changed a lot of mentalities. You know,
so you're saying that has been an average sale change?
Yeah, average sale, a conversion rate change. Okay. And it's kind of come in different phases in departments, like seeing a uptick in average sale for replacement sales, seeing conversion rates go up significantly on maintenance checks, continuing to add memberships at a pretty positive clip, just a lot of positives. And then from, you know, me and Raymond's perspective of really making sure that we're priced right and what's fair to our employees, and staying in front of those things. So, I mean, just a lot, like, I mean, a whole bunch of things that I would say contribute to that.
Well, guys, we're getting close. We're getting close, but I want to ask this question to you, Ben. Like, you have two behemoths on here, right? And yeah, you've got great coaching, but is there anything that, you know, you have like has come up or you thought about that maybe you want to ask, you know, these guys for their opinion on? I mean, obviously again, they're, you know, a pretty big chunk ahead of you, but you know, not so far away that they might not be able to help, but do you have any questions for either one of the boys?
I think sitting in my chair, two of the most difficult things that I run across is how to encourage, you know, cross trade leads, membership sales, things like that, get guys to see the whole house. And then how to be, I guess, more innovative in terms of like messaging and, you know, marketing your business or your brand or what you're trying to promote.
I can take the first part there. Aaron's got the, he can take the marketing side. I know he's cued into that quite a bit. Not telling you what you need to answer, Aaron. Sorry. Sounded like a directive. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, on the cross trade stuff, we've seen a lot of success. We created a program where, you know, there's an incentive structure around it. I think what we were running into is we would talk about it like, hey, plumber, tell them about electrical and HVAC and all of this stuff. And I think that they would if they were asked about it, right? It wasn't like a, hey, I'm trying to do this. And where we first noticed this working was in our smaller branches where like a lot of the plumbers know the HVAC guys and, you know, their buddies, and there's only a couple of them. So they're all friends. Whereas, you know, you get to Indianapolis and our big location, it's like most of our plumbers don't know our HVAC guys. They're in separate meetings on separate days. They go run their own things. They're not sure who each other are. So there's no real incentive to like help a brother out, you know, cause like, I don't know who that is. And you know, in Indy, there's always plenty of calls for everybody, but in a smaller market, there's fewer calls. They're harder to come by. They're more expensive, all of this stuff. And so when it came to generating leads for everybody, we noticed we're like, shoot, they're generating a lot of stuff. Maybe we ought to put a formalized program around this. So that's what we did. We put a formalized program around it. We built them a basically like an app. It was essentially our online scheduler that they could see where they got incentivized. I believe it's $25 per appointment that they book outside of their trade. So we're able to track it on the back end, but they have to book it while they're in the home. So if, you know, if they ask about an electrical issue, they want a ceiling fan hung, well then, yeah, I can book that for you right now. And I get $25 if we run this call. So they would book, you know, book the appointment right there. They get their $25 and then they can make incremental dollars based on how much that job sells for. And it's not like they're, you know, they're obviously making more money in their day job, but this is a great way. I've got a guy in the first 6 months of this year, I think I've paid him, he's the top guy. I think I've paid him almost $4,000. In leads that he's referred. But our program, now we have a lot of techs out there, but you know, just put it in kind of comparisons. We generated 900 cross trade appointments in the first 6 months of this year, which resulted in $1 million of revenue. We were closing those leads at about 50%, which is pretty good. I feel like you're going to get the ones that, hey, I'd just like to have somebody out here and get a price, but you know, still good stuff. And we're still providing value to that customer, right? If I can get two technicians in their home as opposed to one, well, that's two opportunities to build value and build trust and like, oh yeah, cool. Like maybe I don't need it now, but at least I know who to call. So that would be my recommendation is track it and incentivize it. And we have a scoreboard. So like they can see on their dashboard, they can see like who's the top cross trade referral guy, how much money has he made, how many has he set, so on and so forth. So guys can start to see the real dollars behind that, which has been super impactful. I mean, you know, leads aren't getting any cheaper if we can generate more leads. And then I'll tell you another guy to talk to in the Redwood circle is Helmy, who we had on last week. He was talking about the concept of how do I book two appointments for every call I get? So like if you call, how do I set cross-trade referrals on the phone in the contact center room, which I thought is a great idea. We've talked about it. But again, I don't think I've ever formalized anything, which is what we're working on now. How do I formalize this program to where my CSR is incentivized to, you know, not only set the HVAC appointment, but do you have any slow drains in the house? You got any electrical needs? Well, we can get an electrician out there as well, or we can get a plumber out there, whatever it may be. So I think that's a great idea too. Haven't fleshed that one out yet. But it sounds like he has. I'd check with him because it sounded like he was kind of dialed in on that piece of things.
Yeah. And I think, you know, marketing is hard. I looked at your guys' site, obviously. I don't know enough about your brand messaging to have a lot of thought on what you could do or couldn't do. And obviously, I have a name that's been around for a long, long time and people know it in the marketplace. Unique kind of name to what you do, but it obviously has worked. You guys have grown. But I think at the end of the day, marketing is really just comes down to is what do you stand for? What do you stand against? And are you willing to say it out loud? Right. So are you willing to actually just get on a radio ad? Are you willing to get on a TV ad and say what you stand for, what you stand against, even if it's, you know, disrupts your competition in the marketplace, even if it makes people feel uncomfortable that you are in the trades with that. Sometimes you got to do that. So I think it's important to kind of understand that. So that's the only way you stand out and you have to be willing to, you know, sometimes say things that most people wouldn't say on a radio ad and be okay saying it. And you know, that's what I would say if you're looking, how do you stand out in marketing? How do you create and disrupt something? You got to be okay with being a little confrontational. That might be in my personality a little bit. So I'm okay with that somewhat. I see. Look at these two. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you guys probably do have what you stand for and stand against. And you culturally build that in. And then just understanding your brand message, like you guys obviously have a brand story. I don't know enough about it, but for everybody, a brand story, there's a difference between generating leads and having a story that people can relate to and communicate. Obviously you have a story, regardless of you're partially owned by private equity. There's still a brand family story that you guys have leaned into, or you remake a new one that relates to where you guys are going now with the culture, the people, and start to be able to articulate that. So I think you want 60% of your advertising to be relational and 40% of it to be basically offer driven, right? And you want to keep building that relational memory with people over time. So I know it's like super high level, but I hopefully, you know, just getting people to think about the difference of that. When you're early on, you're very focused on just get me a lead, get me a lead. I think we can all relate to that, right? Very early on, it's just like, people call Chris, get me a lead, right? Like, I need a lead. I need a lead, right? It's like, okay, I can only give you so many leads if nobody knows who you are because you haven't built any brand yet. You haven't built any brand equity and you have brand equity. So it's like, how do you guys really lean in that brand equity more and build more trust around it if you need to? I don't know your market cap, your market share, right? You might not need to, but I think it's important for everybody to kind of understand. Sometimes we get over the deal focused and less relational. And that when you flip that too much, consumers kind of can understand that everything you want is a deal. I grew most of my plumbing business on deal offers, but there was a threshold where it can't just all be deals. People need to start to understand what is the relationship I build with you as a brand and as me, Aaron, right? Or Chad, how Chad does his advertising.
Like you guys do this podcast now, and I guess kind of tying into what my question was, like innovative forms of messaging. Like, yeah, we, because like myself personally, like from midnight till 7 a.m., my inbox gets 400 promotional emails from some people I've never even heard of. And it's like, I feel like there's got to be better ways of messaging for promoting the deals, innovative ways to do that. And I guess that's kind of what I was, like, where the basis of my question was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I understand a little bit here. Like, are you saying, like, hey, we want to send a piece of messaging out, say it's an email. Chris can help with this. If it's an email, so I always look at it as like, how do we, like, the easiest one we always think about in HVAC is like, well, we can book maintenance appointments. Well, okay, cool. But we know a maintenance appointment kind of has, you know, yeah, we can, you win some, you're going to lose far more over time. It's kind of a, hey, we just have them in our kind of fence of customers and hopefully they use other services and so on and so forth. I've always looked at, like, how do we make our messaging, like, how do we make it about a product? Like, I think we're so in the service piece of it, but like, our customers don't understand the service piece of it. Like, they don't know what it takes to put in a tankless water heater, but we don't highlight the products a lot. Like, what are all the products? Because again, we don't view ourselves as product pushers, but like, when you get the ad for something, it's about a product. Like, how can I educate more on what a tankless does for you? Or like, how do I generate estimates? Like, people who are naturally interested in this product, because it's probably a lot easier to, you know, move product, which we know comes with the service. And I think sometimes we get lost in this whole service thing and we forget about all the great products that we have. Because to us, like, the product is just like, yeah, that's just what we put in. Like, we put in a water heater, we put in a, you know, UV light, we put in all these things. But like, a lot of customers aren't even aware, unless our techs are really doing a great job of educating, which, you know, hey, we're pushing and trying and they're getting better every day. But like, how do we get that information out in front of our customers so that we can generate sales estimates, like people who want to buy a product that, again, we're going to sell the service alongside of it. I think that's where we've tried to like lean into of like, when I send out an email, I want to get estimates, not like just booking like service appointments or something like that. Like, people will call when shit's broke, but they may not call if they don't know about a certain product and what it may be able to do for them.
Yeah, I think Chris's guys do a good job with this. We've been using their service. They do a good job dialing that in. I think the unique thing is, like, people think they're just going to send out an email or text message. People should just book because they have some, we're doing this for $49. Why didn't anybody book? They're not creative enough and they're not interesting enough and they're too generic. And you really have to understand how to manage your CRM. Why does somebody buy this? And then what do they do next? What kind of products would this person buy after they bought that? Right. To this point, I think those are innovative ways to do it. Understanding when to send a message, like, the weather changed today. It rained. What did we do? We already have all of our queue. All the customers never bought a sump pump in the last month. What happened this morning in their inbox this morning? They all had information about sump pumps, how to manage it, how to check it, what to look for, how to do it. If it rained pumps, all these things, like, it happened in real time. We send generic stuff over and over and over to your point in your inbox at night. That's not relatable to anything I might be dealing with. So you might already do all that. Again, we're talking in hypotheticals over here, right? So we don't have enough detail. But that might be beneficial. Just
no, I think those are some really good takeaway. I got some good notes on that. You got my wheels turning.
Well, boys, we're at the end. Now, I didn't get to do the bit I wanted to do because there's only a couple minutes left. I'm going to try and squeeze in just a couple questions so that way we can get off here at the top of the hour, okay? So,
all right.
Trust me. We're going to do, instead of the VIP top three questions, Ben, I'm going to ask you, we're going to play a little game of Would You Rather. And if you played a game of Would You Rather, you know what to expect. This might be slightly different, but I'm going to go ahead and hammer you with just a few questions, okay? So don't just, whatever pops to your head, whatever comes up first. Ben, you ready? Okay. Would you rather lose your best salesperson or your best operations person?
Oh, Jesus. Man, you're really putting him on the spot on this one.
That's a good one.
Good one.
First thing that pops up in your head. You're not going to lose either. So this is obviously hypothetical.
That's a great point. I
Yes.
Let's go sales for today.
Okay. All right. It gets easier from there. Would you rather have unlimited leads or unlimited employees? Hey boys, if you have an answer, spit it out.
Leads.
Okay. And last one. Would you rather start over with no money or no network?
So start over with the same network now as with no money.
Yep.
Yeah. It's
100%. That's saying.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, I there's a few more on here I haven't got to, but I thought that was pretty good. I like that question. When I got those, I was
you came right out the gate on my man. He was like, you're going to make me make these people. What if they hear this?
He wouldn't have his feelings hurt.
That's why I said it's a hypothetical, guys. Just a question. Well, listen, Ben, man, we appreciate you coming on. And have you done a podcast before? Were you your first?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you done a podcast before? Are you this is your first time?
No, I'm this is by far the biggest thing I've ever done.
Okay, cool.
Most professionally organized. You guys are great.
Okay. We fake it well. Well, listen, man, we appreciate you. It'd be fun to kind of watch what you do over these next few years as you get deeper and deeper into your GM role there, and just to kind of see how things segue with your dad and all that stuff. But it sounds like
you guys know what they say. Third generation burns it to the ground. So,
is that what they say?
That's the expectation. So, I just got to do better than that.
He's got to do better than that. You make sure those guys over at Redwood send us a check, okay?
Yeah, 30. Yeah. That's what we need. Just 30K. Okay. We've done three of them.
Swag in the mail.
Fucking swag in the mail. Baby, appreciate you coming on here, man. I'm going to try to get everybody off here. So, hopefully, you had some fun. Glad you got to ask the boys some questions. And to our listeners, like I was saying, man, you know, I don't care what you do, whatever you do, don't talk about it, be about it. So until next week, when we have another guest on here, and hopefully we get a VIP guest co-host who canceled on me last minute, was supposed to be on here. I'm not going to ruin the surprise, so we'll push him to the following week. You guys know him well. But Ben, appreciate you guys again, and Chad and Aaron, appreciate your guys' input on this thing. And to our listeners, keep coming back and listening, and go out there and kick some ass. We'll see you.
What's the password?
Don't talk about it, be about it.